We're ringing Dennis Hall from Wellington.
Hello.
Hello. Is that the City Underground Airways again?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Hello, Dennis. Ground here again. I wonder if you've... Are you well today? You feel like talking?
Yeah, I do feel like talking, and I'm relatively well.
Oh, good.
I'm an old guy, and us old guys have a lot of ailments, but I'm okay.
We do.
I'm sitting down and ignoring them.
That's what you do. Hmm. Well, tell us, oh great one, oh wise one, what do you know about the Daily Telegraph? I keep giving it a definite article, but it's not. It's just called Daily Telegraph, New Zealand.
Well, the Daily Telegraph, that used to be a proper newspaper in the days of proper newspapers, which no longer exist in England, weren't they?
That's right, and that's why it's a really good name. And it's an online publication, it's a newspaper, and it's called Daily Telegraph New Zealand. And I'm on that, and you can find it at dailytelegraph.co.nz. Dailytelegraph.co. I don't know. Some people say telegraph. Some people say telegraph. I normally say telegraph, but I'll say telegraph just for this moment. .co.nz, and you'll find it. So news. They've got news, world. These are the drop-downs. COVID-19, money, daily life, which includes celebrity news, health and well-being, history today, travel, recipes, food, royal news, viral, what's gone viral. That, I didn't know that was there. Sports, art and entertainment, opinion, spotlight and technical, which I think's fantastic. This is a really good online newspaper. I think it's right up there with the BFD. In fact, we must talk about the BFD as well. That used to be called Whale Oil Beef Hooked. Remember that one?
Well, yeah.
I love the name.
You know, I never used to read it though back then for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, oh, I subscribed to BFD. Something happened. Hmm? Something happened. They went broke or something, and then he quickly did a Swifty or something. You know, good on him. You know, got to keep it going. Someone tried to pull Swifty on him, probably. Anyway, he's still going.
Well, you know, it was oil be fucked is what it was about.
It was what?
Well, it was the name was Will Oil Be Fucked.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yeah, of course.
I'm so naive. I've always been told that I'm naive. Anyway, let's go back to the Daily Telegraph, New Zealand. And so that's the dailytelegraph.co.nz. News. Now, let's have a look and see what the news is doing, and I'd like your opinion on it. Well, first of all, last night we had a magnitude 4 earthquake. At Palmerston, just southeast of Palmerston North, magnitude 3.4, I should say. That's not much. What are we worrying about that? They have little ones like that all over the earthquake belt all the way down there. Yeah. So why would they put that in the news? So.
Well, they changed. They did. I noticed that they changed the sort of velocity of the earthquake in the space of about an hour because they were talking 5.8 at one point. And over by
Prongham. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, you know, somebody made something up.
Right. Then they had another one earlier near Porongahau, and that was 3. So they've
had
2.
That was the one that made me nervous.
Really? Why?
Because, of course, well, that's where the homestead is over there. And I, you know, the last time, you know, when I was living there, there was a big earthquake like that, and there was 35 bloody broken windows.
Good grief. Tell us about the homestead, Porongia, is that far? Is that quite close to Hastings? You were near Hastings, weren't you?
No. So it's south of Waipukarau.
Yeah, Waipukarau.
Probably 20 km south of Waipukarau.
That's a one horse.
A little town called Takapau, which is a very one horse town.
Yeah, but Waipukarau is a one horse hick town as well. They've got about 3 lawyers in the whole town, and they all go golfing together.
I knew them all.
don't expect to get a good hearing in a court down in Waipukarau, mate. It's as corrupt as hell down there.
That wouldn't surprise me. But you know, in that Hawke's Bay region, I mean, a lot of that land was taken up in the early days by families. The Ormond family, for example, they got Wallingford, and they built a big homestead there. And Sydney Johnson, he got Aruaforo, they call it Orawarra. Everybody calls it Orawarra.
That was you, isn't it? That's your homestead.
Yeah. So I had that for 23 years. And I, you know, as far as they were concerned, I was a bloody interloper, you know, because what was I? I was a cab driver from Wellington living in one of their grand homesteads. They couldn't believe it.
I had a small block, very small, home lifestyle block down in Onga Onga, And some of them were very nice people, but boy, there were some nasty ones. Some of these big farmers, they think they lorded over everybody down there. Incredible.
Oh yeah, a bit suspicious of city slickers. But you know, down by along, you had Bologna, New, and Jenny Adam owned it. Ashcott Homestead.
All right.
And on the other side of the river from whatever the river was called, from Waipakarau, you could see it from Waipakarau, was a homestead called Woburn.
Yeah.
But there were a whole range of very, very big old, very flash homesteads in Hawke's Bay. Probably would have been 12 of them. And it was, you know, I was the poor guy and all of that sort of, you know, they looked down their nose at me, because what I had was a sort of a 50-year lease, for which the rental on the place for me was one peppercorn a year.
I thought you paid as much as three Wellington homes.
That's because we didn't do our research properly, and we bought it from this guy, Colin Baxter, who had been given, and I know now why he was given the lease. He was given this 55-year lease, cost him nothing, and we came along and bought it from him for $65,000
he was just
1977.
That's a good business.
And for him, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's all right for you too. Look what you got.
Well, it kind of wasn't, because we had a bloody great big mortgage, and so it was quite difficult to pay off. But the other thing about that was that the locals, a lot of the locals, even the poor locals, looked down their noses at us, you know, because we were city slickers.
Yeah, they're a weird bunch down in Central Hawke's Bay. Strange, very strange.
But, you know, I knew how to use a chainsaw, and I knew how to chop wood and all that kind of stuff. And ploughing fields was bloody easy. And we had a few cows and a few sheep and whatever.
What did you do? You know, what did you plant when you planted? I bet you got some weeds when you ploughed that up.
Well, you know, you'll laugh at this. Look, a friend of mine was Aidan Lennon, a good friend of mine. She was the person who was in charge of acquisitions at the Victoria University Library. So she was a smart cookie, right?
Right.
And she said you've got this little Ferguson tractor there, and it's got all the implements. It's got, you know, ploughs and discs and the harrows and the whole nine yards.
Mm.
She said, "Why don't I plough the field?" So she said, "Yeah, go for your life." And I said, "I'll go and get some gas." And she said, "No, I've got gas in my car."
So because they're petrol, those old messy Fergusons, aren't they? They're petrol.
Yeah. Mm. So off she went, and she made a beautiful job of ploughing this field and preparing it all.
Yeah.
And you know, I was absolutely strapped for cash, you know, and also strapped for labour, and busy trying to not only sort of look after but protect a 36-room mansion.
Mm.
And I knew, I had all these hippies that were hanging around, but I tell you what, getting a day's work out of those people would absolutely be like getting blood out of a stone.
Well, they're cannabis indica, aren't they?
No, very much so. And you couldn't get
the life out of you, that stuff.
But it probably took me a year to get rid of the last of them.
Right.
But this all of Aidan's ploughing never got planted, which was very sad.
So hang on, Aidan. Is it Aidan her name?
Aidan. A-I-D-E-N. Yeah.
That's a woman's name.
Yeah, Aidan. It's a woman.
Didn't
she
know.
Was the librarian. She wasn't just a person that went and put books on shelves. She was a person who decided which books went into the university library.
Oh, okay. Was she a leftist like they've got now, or was she pretty good? Can you remember?
I would say no. Well, you know, her and I were very firm friends, and so she and my politics have never changed. So I can't remember exactly. We didn't talk politics very much.
Oh, okay.
We did a little bit. We did a little bit, not much.
What was she going to plant there?
Sorry?
What was she going to plant?
I can't remember. We're talking 50 years ago. Good Lord.
Marijuana.
Yeah.
You need to hide it in the bush.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if we'd been cheeky enough to plant the whole thing in marijuana, they probably would have thought it was something else. but no, we didn't do that.
You know, the gangs after you.
Probably a little bit prior to the gangs, but the gangs were a little bit afraid to come around us there. And one of the reasons was that I always used to tell the locals in the shop at Takapau when I was down there, or in the post office, and people would ask me questions about the place, and I'd say, "Oh, well, you know, it's a bit spooky. It's fairly haunted.
Very haunted."
And
yeah.
You know, and there's a woman in a green dress that wanders up and down the main staircase at night.
That's the story.
And lots of people have seen her.
That'll keep them away.
And Jesus did it ever.
And so
people were afraid of it. So, yeah.
Well, we must have a good conversation about the Orawarra Station homestead. That'll be fun. I'd be interested
sometime,
to talk about that.
Mm.
So just getting back to the dailytelegraph.co.nz. We've had the quake business, and you were worried because of Porongahau. Now Tucker Carlson, he came out with a video. Do you want to hear it?
Well, I wouldn't mind hearing it.
All right.
I haven't sort of taken the time to sit down and pick up on that, although I used to follow him. You know, I was a bit shocked when he went.
Yeah,
so
well,
like
he got the boot.
Why.
Got the boot. All right. Well, let's hear him, and you tell me a little bit about this. This is his first one, and he released it exactly the same time of the evening as Tucker Carlson tonight, and he sat there in his own home studio and did a, in his tie and nice check shirt and nice blazer, and this is what he says.
Good evening, it's Tucker Carlson. One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely
nice people there are
in this country. Kind and decent people, people
nope.
who really care
no, no,
about
no,
what's
nothing,
true,
yeah.
And a bunch of hilarious people also, a lot of those. It's got to be the majority of the population, even now. So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. That's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid. They've given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. But it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink. And they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
Well, that's Tucker Carlson. I'm sorry about that. It took you a little while to get... Oh, hold on. Hang on, I'll just put you back on. Sorry, Dennis, I've gone on. Yeah, it was a bit difficult. I had to play you through my headphones. Anyway, we get there. So what did you think of that? Basically, he...
Well, I couldn't understand a word of that. So.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a shame. Okay, well, he went on to argue that both major political parties in the US have reached consensus on what benefits them and now actively collude to shut down meaningful discussion, saying that the American establishment has given up on persuasion and is now resorting to force and increasing censorship. That's what they're doing. That's why Jacinda Ardern's got that new position. Suddenly, he says, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. Carlson continued, that's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, so it won't. Carlson's departure from Fox on Monday was a major shake-up to the outlet, as his primetime show was long one of the highest-rated programs on cable news. Despite reports that he was dismissed, Fox said they had agreed to part ways and offered no further explanation for the decision, which has already driven a drop in ratings and the company's market value. Well, you know, Peter Williams would have been sacked if he hadn't have resigned, and I think that Tucker Carlson would have been sacked if he hadn't have resigned, and I think that Fox News must have been given a massive, massive incentive from the US, from the Biden administration, or through some of their agents, to get rid of him. Because, and that's why Ardern's, she's still Prime Minister, mate, but she's in the back rooms now, and she's attacking people like him, people like Peter Williams, people like Calvin Alp and Hannah Spear from Counterspin Media, and others, and Chantelle Baker, all of them. Reality Check Radio, realitycheck.radio, will be under the spotlight. The BFD, the Daily Telegraph, all of them here in this country are going to be under the spotlight from that wench Ardern. That's what's going to happen. So we've got a real war on our hands. And, you know, the only weapon we've got, because we don't have any weapons, they took them all off us with Christchurch. All we've got is pea shooters. And they are fully armed, and they actually want an uprising. The government and the world governments want an uprising of the people, so that will give them the moral high ground to bring in draconian martial law. That's what I think. And shutting down all this, like they're doing with him. He was the only... Look, I'll guarantee you that Mike Hosking will be sacked, and so will Heather Duplessis-Allen if they don't pull their horns in.
Well, you know, those two are the most widely listened to people in the country anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, if they try... Look, you know, it's all very well sort of suggesting that these people that you're talking about as globalists and whatever are going to try and do that. Look, because we were talking about Carlson, I'm sitting in front of my TV and I've just turned on and Gutfeld's on Fox News, and they just ran a headline which said that the woke people are attacking stringed instruments because they see that is for music. Because they see the kind of music that they play as being part of white supremacy. I mean, you know, this whole business has gone insane. And, you know, the thing is that, if you know, white people, who generally speaking do tend to identify with all of the people rather than just themselves.
It's a war against the West.
I think it's a war against white people.
Well, the West. It's a war on the West.
Well, the West. You see, you know, one of the things I keep on saying all the time in the stuff that I write is that we live in a civilization, right? In the civilization.
Yes.
We live in it's part of the culture. It's cars and it's radio and television and it's food supplies and it's communications and it's music and it's everything. Do you know what I mean? It's everything that people want. And what do? They want to come to a place like New Zealand, which is Western civilization. They want to come here because of that. And the thing about all of that civilization and culture is that it emanated, I always argue, out of Europe. And it just did, and then predominantly out of the UK. And it went global, you know, like it or not, it sort of went. It migrated to America and Australia and New Zealand and all the rest of it. And it is the only viable civilization on the planet. And it came out of Europe. And so there's a whole bunch of people around the world who know that because it's obvious and they don't like it. So it seems to me that they're looking for whatever little thing they can niggle at and try to pull the civilization down. And who do they attribute the civilization to? White people.
And why are they doing that, do you think?
Because because it came from white people.
Civilization, yeah, but what's the motive? Why attack the greatest civilization on earth?
These people equate the civilization, the way that it stands at the moment, with white supremacy. Because, like it or not, the civilization that we use and live in and live by and whatever, and the place that also supplies the intellectual sort of powerhouse for all of that, and the powerhouse for universities and all the rest of it, also emanated from the European, the Europeans, just did. And so, you know, these other, a lot of these other people have a problem with that. And but, you know, funnily enough, I don't believe the Chinese or the Japanese fit into that, because they've adopted the, all these aspects of European civilization, and they've adopted it with a vengeance, if, and that's the wrong word probably, but they've adopted it with enthusiasm, and are busy developing it. And so the new innovations are coming from a place where the civilization didn't start, because the Asians, like it or not, are pragmatic people, but are prepared to look at the civilization for what it actually is and say what we can do with some of that, and why don't we fix this, that, and the other parts of that while we're at it. And so their attitude is completely different. Well, I'd say they've adopted it rather than copied it, and they've improved it. And so, you know,
They have improved it.
I've got a great big Sony TV. Where'd it come from? It came from Japan.
Mm.
Who made it? Japanese people. You know, do you know what I mean? I drove Japanese cars for a long time, all that sort of stuff. And so, you know, the Asians, they have participated in the global civilization in a way that a whole lot of other groups and races have not. They just haven't. You know, the Africans have not. The Africans, I mean, imagine sort of economical value in Africa. But it hasn't. It's provided bugger all to the great civilization. There's nothing that we can look at outside the door that we can say came from Africa, because I know it did. But we can look at plenty of stuff that came from Japan and China. And, we, you know, we have this sort of conundrum about telling the truth about cultures and about the civilization. And we all have to just recognize the facts. Sorry, I'm lecturing again. We've got to recognize the fact that civilization came out of Europe.
Yep.
And we all live in it. And when Maoris, for example, in New Zealand, which is where we live, when Maoris stand up and talk about Maori culture and they sort of dance around and sort of show off their Maori culture, everything about it is European in nature, the whole lot.
Well, they don't live a Maori culture, they live a European culture.
Yes, of course they do. But, you know, what they've done is they've modified it slightly with some tattoos and a few other things and a few other little motifs. But basically, they rely every single day of their lives on European culture. They do.
They sleep in a European-designed bed. They wake up in the morning and they brush their teeth with a toothbrush that came from Europe, with toothpaste that came from Europe. And they get in a car, a Japanese car now. It used to be a British car or an American car. And they drive to work in a job which was created for them by Europeans.
And that's right. And so that cultural sort of dichotomy that we have in New Zealand, I believe, is entirely made up. It's just fabricated. It's just
I want to know why.
Well, because of identity and people feeling as though they have to have their own identity.
But why? Why? There's only a few of them. There's white people are pushing this more than the Maoris are in this country, and black people in America.
Yeah. Well, you mean that's because a whole lot of white people have trouble getting their heads around what I just said. And that is that the culture at large, the wider global culture that is aspired to by every country on the planet, came out of Europe.
Well,
and they go, oh, that's embarrassing.
Well, I think it's more insidious than that. I think it's a globalist communist plot to incite the so-called indigenous people of each country against the Western people that live there, because if
I kind of agree with that, Grant.
You do or you don't?
You know,
You do agree or you don't agree?
No, I do. Mm. But the thing about communism, modern communism is completely different to the communism of the 40s when I was born.
Is it?
Well, they weren't trying to colonize. The communists weren't trying to colonize the indigenous people of the world back then.
Well,
the indigenous people of the, you know, they wanted to take over the whole world, but you know they didn't think about using the indigenous people to do that, I reckon, until the 60s.
You reckon? Well, do you think Rob Muldoon was aware of that when you interviewed him in a very long interview, which only 23 minutes of it got onto Television New Zealand after the election in 1984? Do you, he he knew, though, didn't he, that the communists were using the indigenous people to drive a wedge between us to destroy our economy, because he said that was what, was it Bill Anderson? Was he the kingpin in
Bill Anderton. He was a union organizer. Yeah.
Right. And he, and according to Muldoon, he told you back in prior to the election, 1983-4, that Bill Anderton, he admired him because he was honest and he wanted to destroy the New Zealand economy so that they could bring in basically what we call today a great reset.
And that's, yeah, but what they wanted to do, what they wanted to bring in, was Russian communism. It wasn't Chinese communism, it was Russian communism back then.
It's still Marxist, you know, though, isn't it?
Well, of course it is. But you see, for me, that was the 1980s. So what are we talking, 50 years ago? My opinions of things and my knowledge of the world was rudimentary compared to what it is now. And so my discussion with the Prime Minister at that time, which went on for, I don't know, 10 hours altogether, different on different days, but it was at least 10 hours altogether, was at a much more rudimentary level. Just it was, and it was because I was nowhere near, as my knowledge wasn't as sophisticated as it is now, and neither were my opinions, you know. So, I mean, I would have go on to say that Muldoon was probably a little bit similar, because, you know, those politicians back then hadn't been exposed to what we've been exposed to now, and they hadn't seen that sort of evolution of communist Marxism in the civilised world, had they?
No. What do you think Rob Muldoon would think of today's National Party? Would he be proud of it or ashamed of it?
Ashamed of it, yeah.
Mm. Why do you say that?
Well, because it's they're a bunch of gutless wonders.
Mm.
They're afraid to be not left. Do you know what I mean? They don't have the balls to stand up and say, no, we believe in this and we believe in that. And that includes Luxon, you know. I mean, have you seen any definitive statements from Luxon about what he believes?
I haven't,
not that I sort of look for them, but the National Party is sort of a faded blue, you know.
Yes.
In my view.
Yeah, well,
and,
I think
you know,
you're right.
They don't have the balls to develop policy and then come out and tell the world about it.
Do you think it's that, or do you think that they've cuddled up to the left? As John Ansell says, the National Party was created in 1937, and it was there to combat communism. That was why it was invented.
Yep.
So they obviously knew that communism was on its way to New Zealand, and that was their job. But they've never actually achieved what they set out to do, which was to combat communism in New Zealand. They've cuddled up to it, as Ansell would say.
Yeah, but see, the problem these days is it seems to me is that communism has also matured into something quite different to what it was then, and it is much, much more sophisticated now than what it was back in the past.
Well, now
they've... I mean, for God's sake, you know, they've got whole think tanks of idiots in universities who spend so much time sitting around thinking about how to make Marxism rule the world, you know. I mean, it's not, we can't look at academia in New Zealand, and I have known a few of them, as I sort of pointed out before, but you cannot trust them. They are dumb as dirt, a lot of them, and you know, they're politicos. The universities in New Zealand are just like political traps.
Mm. They're indoctrination centres, aren't they? They don't teach them.
Indoctrination centres, yeah.
Yeah, they, and schools do too. They need to spend more time teaching them the rudiments of education. More math, more English, history, proper science, you know, which is experimentation, biology. But they really need, they haven't even got spelling, reading and writing, and mathematics. They haven't even sorted that out. They're busy indoctrinating the kids with all this leftist garbage. And National are doing nothing about it.
The poster child for all of that is Maori culture.
You don't see the Maori culture things just being a tool that they know that they can use to piss white people off?
The Maori culture is a banner for leftist thinking. It just is. It's the way I see
it. Yes. Trevor Loudon, he's a expat Kiwi, he says that the world governments, which are controlling our government, want an uprising so that that will give them the moral high ground to bring in martial law. That's what they're after. That's why they're all this stupid stuff, all this transvestite stuff, and all these stupid leftist ideas. They're there to piss us off because right-thinking conservative people just think it's stupid, and sooner or later people are going to just say enough's enough, and they're going to rise up, and that's what they want. Because, you know, we're no match for what they've got. They've got a militarized police force. They've got all the army are all Maoris. So they've got them all on their side, and so we've got no chance. But they want us to rise up, which will give them the moral high ground to bring in martial law and to really put us in our place. That's what I think they're doing, and that's what Trevor Loudon has been saying in his speaking tours throughout the country. And John Ansell's been sitting in on a few of those. Have you got a guest?
The business about causing an uprising.
Mm.
I sort of don't really accept that.
Don't you?
As a possibility or a reality, because
you think we're too stupid. We just go along with it.
People. I think New Zealanders are the general frame of mind of ordinary New Zealanders is that they want to have a good life.
They do.
And if they see a group of people moving them towards. Sorry?
I just want to have a nice time and, work with my hands, just enjoy, being a father and working with animals and building and a bit of engineering. I just enjoy doing that. And I enjoy having a bit of a natter on the radio, playing my country music. I love that. I only do that for me. No one else likes it.
the average New Zealander is not going to want to go to war. Because some political faction wants to have a bloody war.
Well, right now, we've got a war going on now. It's cold, but we've got a war going on now. It's against us.
Well, that's because the left have got control of the media and the schools.
Mm. And the university.
It's pretty simple stuff.
Yeah.
And the people on the right, look, I know people with a lot of money, some of them, who are on the right, and, they just think it'll all go away.
Or they're dreaming.
They're not prepared to do anything at all to even slow it down.
Well, I think
finish
that point.
Well, what can you say?
Well,
they're not prepared to do anything to slow it down because they actually think it'll fizzle.
Well, I don't think it will. I think the National Party and also ACT have been infiltrated by leftist thinking, leftist ideology. Which is globalism, basically, because the globalists don't care whether you're a left or a right, so long as you adopt the United Nations agendas. Agenda 2030, Agenda 21, the WEF, there's others. If the WEF petered out, there'd be some other organisation. They're just basically tools of the United Nations. And their aim is to have a fusion between government and politics. And they want to control everything. And they want us. They just see us.
A fusion between government and politics.
Yep. Did I say that? Government and the corporates. They want the big corporates, the Amazons of the world, the big corporates to be fused with government. And they want to totally control the workers, control the people. That's why they're pushing for cashless society.
But Grant.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, the corporates, the big corporates, the big bosses, they would be courting government every day of the week, and they would have been doing it for the last forever.
They are, because the governments are using our money to give them incentives to put these draconian plans in place. David Seymour is pushing for employers to be able to force their employees and their customers to be fully vaccinated before they'll do business with them without fear of litigation. That's what he said. That's why you can't vote for him. And Luxon's as bad as that. These guys are worse than the left. They're worse than Labour.
So is the whole vaccination thing still a thing?
It's going to be. It's the fact that they can big corporations and the government can tell the people what to do, individuals. We have a Bill of Rights, and they're not upholding it. And the judges are in their pocket. They're just riding roughshod over the laws that were put there to protect
us. Mm.
It's not up to anybody else what I put in my body. It's up to me.
Well, I haven't been vaccinated, and that's because the last vaccination I had was a flu and it bloody near killed me.
Yeah, but that's and a biggie, so, though. That personal autonomy is a big one. And these guys on the right, they're not right, they've cuddled up to the left, as Ansel would always say. They want to be able to control us, and they want to be able to, they think it's for the good of all, but that's not good enough for the greater cause. That's a horrible thing. It should be each individual chooses what they do with their body, with their autonomy, personal autonomy.
Look, you know, I can sort of see that some doctors, because I've heard, I know my doctor, the way he talked about it, my family doctor, he had a different attitude to my cardiologist, I can tell you.
Yeah.
But you know, I can kind of see that the doctor would feel strong feelings about all that, but I'm not sure that all of the medical fraternity think the same way. But, you know, the other, and what that indicates to me is that the bureaucracy are going to be a little bit like the medical profession, and some of them will be on board and some of them won't. Mm. But a whole lot of them will be little activists who will be beavering away there, but they're not necessarily going to succeed. You know, I mean,
they will if they've got the media in their pocket, and right now they're shutting everybody down.
Yeah, but the entire population's not stupid.
Well, they are. It's not that they're stupid, it's just that the only information they're getting, this is what we need to talk about, the only information people are getting is what's coming from the mainstream media, who are in the hands of the government, and the government's in the hands of the world government.
And so that makes people like you and me important.
Yeah.
Because we actually do get up and talk about it. So, you know, that's the thing that we're trying to do, is to talk about it. And why? Because we want to win, you know. Why do people sort of get involved in an argument? Because they want to win it.
Well,
there's an intellectual incentive to do that, because it's a certain excitement associated with it. So if you think you've got to grips with, you know, a difficult conundrum in the country, then you do what you can to stop it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. And that's what John Ansell's doing, and that's what I'm doing, that's what you're doing, and lots of other people that we know. And so we will move along ever so slowly, and a few people, as we go, our opinions will stick to some people, because they are a bit sticky.
Well, we need to talk about that. We probably should move on with the dailytelegraph.co.nz. Can we talk about Xi Jinping and Zelensky? Vladimir Zelensky, they had a phone call that's hit the news, and it said that it will provide a powerful boost to bilateral ties, the Ukrainian leader said. That's what he says. He's just a flippin' pervert actor, isn't he? Doesn't he dress up like a woman? That guy, he's just an actor they've pulled in to run this thing, you know, looks like
a Zelensky dresses as a woman.
Yeah, have you not had a look and see what he was up to before they put him in as a puppet leader of Ukraine?
No.
He's a blimmin' actor and a dancer, and he'd dress up like a woman, and it's just crazy. Nuts.
I haven't seen any of that.
I'll read you what it says anyway. Chinese President Xi Jinping and his Ukrainian counterpart Vladimir Zelensky have spoken over the phone for the first official conversation since Moscow launched its military operation in the neighbouring state more than a year ago. Xi Jinping told Zelensky that dialogue and negotiations are the only viable way out. China will neither watch the fire from the other side, or add fuel to the fire, let alone take advantage of the opportunity to make profits, Xi Jinping said, as quoted by the Global Times. The Chinese president urged all sides to remain calm and restrained when dealing with the possibility of a conflict spiraling into a larger confrontation. He says no one wins in a nuclear war. Zelensky tweeted the dialogue. He said we had a long and meaningful conversation, and he said the call with the appointment of the ambassador. Along with the appointment of an ambassador to China will give a powerful impetus to the development of our bilateral relations. And Xi Jinping said, He promised to dispatch a special envoy to Ukraine and other countries to conduct an in-depth communication regarding the resolution of the conflict. In February, Beijing unveiled a 12-point roadmap for peace between Moscow and Kiev, expressing willingness to take part in mediating an end to the hostilities. China, unlike many Western nations, has refused to condemn Russia, its strategic partner, and to impose sanctions on Moscow. And I see you've got visitors now. The French president also waded in, Emmanuel Macron. He paid a visit to China this month, where he urged Xi Jinping to reason with Moscow. Well, that's good of him. The Chinese government criticized Russia for attacking Ukraine, but also agreed with Moscow that NATO's expansion, NATO's expansion near Russia's western border was one of the core causes of the conflict. Yeah, and that's true. That's the first time I've ever heard that in the news. Can you keep talking, or should we continue part two tomorrow?
Look, Lily was talking, but they just walked out the door again.
Oh, okay.
Look, I reckon, in amongst that whole thing you just read out, there was one key word, right? And that was nuclear, right?
Whoops. Yes.
And so this is what they're confronted with, right? So you've got the Chinese communists, right?
Mm.
And the Russians, they're communists. It's a different form of communism. Because really, both of them are capitalist countries with communist governments, and so there's a tricky interface, particularly in China, between the government and the commerce, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because they both recognised one thing that makes them strong, and that is, being communist is one thing if you've got lots of numbers and a whole lot of people on the street. But they're not going to win against prosperous people that have all got jobs, and so they've got to come to terms with the economic sort of boom that's going on in China, which is contrary to the way that communism works. And so you know, they're going to be careful what they say, but at the same time, you know, as I understand it, the Russian economy is about 10% the size of China's. That's what I've read, and so they're not important. Mm. And the thing about Russia's economy, it used to include the Ukraine, you know, but it doesn't anymore.
Mm.
And you know, the Ukraine's one of the biggest suppliers of wheat to the whole bloody planet, and so you know, Ukraine's potentially a very rich country, and so the thing that caused the argument between them was that the people in NATO who just didn't have the foresight to see that trying to bring the Ukraine into NATO would push the NATO border right up into Russia's front yard.
Well, that's why he invaded them. That's why he went in.
That's why he invaded them. Yep. And I just said, no, you're not allowed to do that.
Well, do you think he had the right to do that? Do you think he was? I mean, what would you do if let's say we're at war with the South Island? And we're in the North Island, and then so Australia goes in and sets up bases in the South Island. We'd be a bit annoyed about that, wouldn't we? If we were at war with these countries, imagine that. That's what it's like.
I don't think it's a good analogy.
Probably not. Probably not.
What's a better analogy? You've got Ukraine, which has had a blazing economy, making shitloads of money, and suddenly they're going to. I mean, and so you've had this Cold War sort of mentality for the last sort of 60 or 70 years, and it is based on NATO on the one hand and communism on the other. And so suddenly that whole NATO thing, which would have scared the shit out of the Russians because they wouldn't have had a chance against NATO, but all of a sudden...
Well, they're doing all right now because they're at NATO are at war. They're in a proxy war with Russia right now, and Russia's doing fine. The people that are dying are the Ukrainians.
The reason Russia's doing fine would be because they're being supplied by China. China's not going to let Russia fall.
But Russia's not a weak. Look, the Western media like to make out that Russia is just this weakling, you know, hopeless backward country.
Continent. It's not hopeless. It's a nuclear power.
Absolutely.
But you know there's a war going on between them. Is NATO going to have the common sense to stop at the border?
Well, they're, NATO and New Zealand and Australia are training Ukrainians to kill Russians. We're at war. We're the baddies in this. Our country are sending soldiers to England now. They're over there now. They're sending them all the time. And they're there for 6 months training Ukrainians in combat and artillery and all sorts of things. Artillery
I know they're doing it, and it's as dumb as dead.
Yeah, but did they tell us? Did our government tell us that that's what they're doing? They haven't.
Yeah, but our government's as thick as pigs.
I know that they're doing it because I know people that know people, and I know that they're over there.
But you know, in the end, China has a vested interest in making sure Russia doesn't fall.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a big war against the West, and I think that China and Russia are going to unite against the West.
Well, you see, you know, that's what everybody's afraid of, right? Mm,
well, it's going to happen.
That suddenly we'll have this thing between China, Russia, and Iran is what they're including in it, and the West.
Yeah,
it's not going to serve the purposes of anyone, and it is going to risk a nuclear war. So, you know, they don't want to do that. I don't believe they want to do that. They're not stupid. They're just like us.
Well, I think the problem is that America and NATO want to dominate the world. They want to be the new world empire.
Well, to some degree, that's right. But, I mean, in the end, politics are going to have to sort that out. Because, you know, I think it's very dishonest of NATO to try to colonize the Ukraine. You know, it's madness.
Well, it's
obvious madness. Why would you go and do... You know, we've had peace between those two sides in a Cold War for the last sort of 60, 70 or whatever years. And along comes, the current leaders of NATO, and they want to change it. I mean, they're mad.
Well, look, it's crazy,
and
isn't
so,
it?
But you know, one of these days they're going to wake up and realize that they're going to be at war with China. And China's the big machine. I mean, China makes stuff way faster than what we do.
Mm.
And do we think we're going to be able to make sort of, armaments and all the rest of it as fast as China, would be out of our minds if we thought that. China will outproduce everybody on the planet.
It's interesting that the French President Macron, when he went over to China, he was urging urging Xi Jinping to reason, quote unquote, with Moscow. Yeah, that's just crazy. Because the Chinese government, they criticize Russia for attacking Ukraine, but also they agree that Moscow... the Chinese agree with Moscow that NATO's expansion near Russian western border was one of the core causes of the conflict. So yeah, Chinese are trying to be peacemakers in this, but the French president's not. He's just, you know, it's all just nonsense. They're gaslighting the French. NATO.
The French know very well. The French know very well that their old enemy that's going to be in the front line, well, this is Germany. Have a look at the map.
How is that, Germany?
If there's going to be a war, and what's the choices? A ground war or a nuclear war?
It'll be artillery to start with. It's artillery at the moment.
In a nuclear war, nothing's safe. You know.
Look, all the
problems. And so.
Go on.
And so the French captain, he can be as smart as he likes, but his buffer zone is Germany.
No, I suppose
Germany is between him and the Ukraine.
Yeah, that's right. They'll take the brunt of it. But right now,
I think you'll find that the Russians wouldn't want to take on Germany because Germany are more of a production unit than what Russia is.
Mm.
You know. And the Chinese are not going to want to take on Germany either. But I mean, Germany's a long way off as far as they're concerned.
Mm.
I mean, their territorial integrity is fine. But I think it's just scrappy sort of little politicians pissing about. I reckon it'll fizzle out.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Oh well, I hope
it'll
you're
right. Because if you and I can sit around and sort of make those sort of connections, well, they can too.
Mm. We're speaking with Dennis Hall. Dennis is a contributor to the New Zealand Centre for Political Research. That's Mira Newman's and her husband, I think, isn't it? Their Facebook page, New Zealand Centre for Political Research. And they often see stuff that you've written and they want to include it in their Facebook posts.
Well, from time to time.
From time to time.
You know, I'm a major contributor to the Dennis Hall Facebook page.
Oh, I'll have to have a look. Can we just come back home? Have you got time to talk a bit longer with me?
Talk about what?
Have you got a time to talk a little bit longer?
Yeah, sure, because the house is empty again now.
Oh, okay. Let's come back to home and the. What is it with Indians? They have to cheat. Why is it? They're intelligent people. They've got a high IQ, but they're always the ones that are caught cheating. They've got this. I think he's Indian. I could be wrong. Fake doctor Yuvraj Krishnan, who was jailed yesterday. He received a sentence of 3 years and 7 months imprisonment when he appeared in the Manukau District Court. He used fake documents, including a curriculum vitae and a practicing certificate, to land a job as a doctor at Middlemore Hospital. He saw a total of 81 patients over a 6-month period. Another doctor raised the alarm when he recognised Krishnan from his university days in Auckland in 2012. He was trespassed immediately from the university when an investigation discovered that he was a fake medical student. So he was there and he wasn't even a proper medical student. Krishnan was also charged with offences relating to the filing of false affidavits in the High Court. Following a traffic charge in 2021, he sought a discharge without conviction. When that was denied, he successfully appealed to the High Court using an affidavit which falsely claimed he was a practicing doctor and attached fake letters from the Medical Council and the Auckland District Health Board in support. What is it with them, these fellas? They just have to cheat. Why can't they just... They're bright enough. He's probably bright enough to go through and get good marks and get into medical school and become a proper doctor. Why do they have to cheat? And there's so many of it. We see it in many industries where Indians come to our country and they flip and cheat. And they, you know, I'm saying this, and you might think that's racist, but I've got too many people that I know that have to deal with these people and teach them. And they say that they don't need to cheat, and yet they do. They can't help it. What is it with
them? Could be part of the wider Indian culture, because things over there are more difficult than here.
Mm. But they're not stupid. They've got one of the highest IQ rates in the world. They're right up there with the Chinese.
Smart people.
And they're right up there with the Eskenazi Jews.
But, you know, Grant, you're allowed to say they're smart people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're allowed to say that. But they're also cheats. Generally speaking, I think that's a general statement, and I think it's a true one. I've just seen too many cases. I'm 63 in June, and I've just seen too much of it, man. I've actually dealt with it myself. They are corrupt as hell, and that's just the way it is. What is it with them? Why can't they just do the exams? They're not stupid. So here he is. Now he's in jail for nearly 4 years. Oh, he'll be out though, won't he? He'll be on home detention in 6 months.
Who was in jail for 3 years?
Oh, this doctor, Krishnan. Oh, he's not a doctor. He's a fake doctor. He pretended to be a doctor in Middlemore. So that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Mm. But why do they cheat?
I managed to miss all that.
Eh? What happened?
Well, I haven't read about any of that.
Oh, well, you're not reading the right newspaper. You're listening to the wrong... You're listening to mainstream media and reading the Herald and stuff and stuff like that.
Look, Grant, to be honest with you, I'm not informing myself anywhere near as well as what I used to. And I listen to Mike Hosking, and I realise the degree to which he's informed, and I just feel like I'm so far out in the wop-wops.
But he's hamstrung. He can't say everything he wants to say. There's a lot more he'd like to say.
Oh, I'm sure he can't. He's a smart one. He's a very smart cookie. As is that Duplessis Allen. She's
absolutely.
And she's cute.
Is she? Well, okay. So you don't know anything about that. So that was. I felt like I just talked about that for nothing.
It's always worth talking about.
What do you think's going on with crime in this country? It seems to be everywhere. Look at the headlines. Porirua shooting. Police appeal for witnesses. Glendine fatal crash investigation underway. Okay, well, that's an accident. 4 youths in custody for Hamilton ram raids. Shaw, that's climate change. Shaw says much greater urgency. Oh, yeah, that's just him going on about his fake climate change. The Independent Police report on the fatal shooting of Tangaroo Noria Turia. Basically, they're trying to make out that they did a good job. A man's dead. Oh, he had a gun, didn't he? You think they could have talked him down, don't you think? They like to shoot any of these undefenders.
Well, you've got to realise that there's a policeman might be standing there with a gun in his hand, but he knows that if somebody else pulls the trigger first, he could be dead.
Well, that's true. So, but why was he in the house? Where are the police negotiators? Why don't we hear about that? They try to talk you down, but why? Well, let's find out. Why doesn't the news tell us why he was in that home and why he had a gun? What was the psychology going on there? Was he mentally ill, or did he have? Well, he mustn't have been quite straight, but did he have some beef?
There's a little thought that I've got about all that that might be a bit irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's this. Along came Pretty Jacinda and took all the guns away, you know.
Yeah.
She took all the assault rifles. People sort of can't. You don't see people. You never, ever did see people walking down Manus Street or, I don't know, Queen Street in Auckland with an AK-47. You just didn't see it. And that was because those guns were held vastly by good and ordinary people who used them for hunting, right?
Mm.
And so, you know, but, you know, Jacinda then covers herself with glory by doing that. But then, so then that completely changes the gun culture in the country. So all of those people had to give up their fancy big firearms, which were all basically rifles. Some of those people would have had other firearms besides, and that would include pistols, right?
Mm.
So what would happen then? So they would go, these are going to be too difficult, we might as well just get rid of them. And I reckon a lot of the result of taking away all the there's a word that they use for them, assault weapons.
Yeah, but they're not assault. I've got to stop you there. They're not all assault weapons.
That's beside the point, Grant. They called them assault
weapons. That's right, but that's fake. What they took away was weapons that were over, well, they're firearms over a 10 shot, over a 0.22. Anything over a 0.22 couldn't have anything more than a 5-shot cartridge. And they had to be handed in. And they weren't assault rifles. They were just semi-automatic hunting rifles. And they had to hand them in.
And I know that, but I think that the other, I'm not quite sure of the dynamic of this, but I kind of believe that the business of removing what they called assault weapons from the ordinary population caused the bleeding of other, you know, because a lot of people who held pistols would not be able to hand them in. It's difficult to hand them in. You've got to explain why you've had them. Because they're against the law, so I reckon.
Oh no, not with the right, permits. You're allowed pistols.
Well, I think that one way or the other, I don't understand it all because I've never taken much notice.
Mm.
But I do think that it's caused a bleeding of firearms into the general population, which is why we're having more firearm, more shooting.
What do you mean by
now?
That? A bleeding of firearms into the general population?
Well, you mean
unlicensed people?
So there's an ordinary sort of guy who's a drinks at the pub, talks to the truck drivers, who owned a couple of assault weapons, and he's had to hand them in, but he's still got a couple of pistols that he can't hand in. So what's he going to do with them? He's just going to say down the pub, look, I've got these pistols, I want to get rid of them, and bingo, they're out in the wild.
You reckon?
Yep. Because what's he doing? He's clearing the decks of all that sort of stuff, because now he's under threat, because his name is still in the machine.
Mm.
And so, you know, they're likely to go, he's going to go thinking, what if they come in and knock on my door and want to have a look at my gun safe, you know?
Yeah. They don't have, they don't have a gun register in New Zealand, but what's going on, it's actually not even lawful, but the police and the government are making, in conjunction with the gun stores, they're actually getting the serial numbers of every rifle they sell. To the public, licensed owners, every rifle they sell, they're getting the details on it. So they've actually got a gun a register when they don't actually have a statute to lawfully do so.
I would, as an ordinary citizen, I would have thought it would be lunacy to for a gun shop to be able to sell a gun to an individual without writing down his name and the number of the gun.
Well, as far as I know, the law states that the owner has to be licensed. You could have as many guns as you like.
But well, that's what I mean. They were talking about the owner of the gun. He has to be licensed.
Yeah, but I'm talking about they've got a register of, they've taken down the serial number now. They do that, and there's no statute that says that they are able to do that, but they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, keeping in good with the government.
I'm surprised and disappointed at that because I would have thought the sensible thing to do would be to have a register of, the register of firearms that is involved with that guy's name being taken, and him being on
Oh, do you think they should have a register? I would have thought that you could have as many guns as you like if you're licensed and able to you meet the criteria.
But you see, that's because you're a law-abiding person, Grant.
Well, only law-abiding people should be allowed guns. You shouldn't.
But in the current climate in New Zealand today,
yeah.
Exactly who do we think the government are going to refuse firearms licenses to?
Good people. That's what's happening. They're not coming down on the gangs. The gangs have still got all these guns. They're unlicensed. All the crimes. In the last 100 cases of gun violence, I don't think there's been any licensed firearm owner that's been involved in that. It's all gangs and people that are unlicensed that have got hold of guns. And a lot of mental health problems as well. All the shootings.
Do we seriously believe that the New Zealand government are applying those sort of laws evenly across the population?
No,
I don't.
No, they're not. They're out to disarm good people. Now, why is that? Why would they want to do that? Why don't they just disarm the crooks?
Well, in the end, it could be. I mean, it's a virtual. It could be just virtue signalling. Oh, we can easily get the guns off.
It's easy, eh? It's easy to take it off a hunter or, a farmer. That's easy. Just walk around.
For Jacinda Ardern, she'd go and talk to all her fancy mates overseas and say, we dealt with all that. And they're not going to ask any questions because they're not going to know.
Hey, you know something? You know that Ardern was on the committee that allowed online applications for firearms into this country? And so she actually was on that committee that she chaired it, that allowed that Brendan Tarrant guy that shot up those people in the mosque in Christchurch, she allowed that. And I was talking to a firearms officer a few years ago, and he said that we tried to stop that happening, but they wouldn't listen. Now, why is that? You know what I think? I think they wanted it to look like licensed firearm owners were the problem, because they gave him a license.
Sure.
So he was a licensed firearm owner. He should never have been given one. If it was done through the firearms guy office, the guy that I know, great guy, used to be in the police, and then what he did before he retired, there'd be no way this guy would have got a license.
Yeah, but do we seriously
Ardern gave him
people
one.
In Parliament? People in Parliament are always going to act with an ulterior motive.
Yeah, but why would she do that? Does she want? Do you think that's true? Do you think all this conspiracy stuff about it being a false flag might be some validity to it?
Well, look, yeah, I actually know somebody very high up in all that.
Yeah.
And so you have prompted me to give them a call and ask them.
Let's do that. Can I sit in on it?
Sorry?
Can I sit on, be a fly on the wall in that conversation?
I've got to be careful about identifying anybody.
Yeah, that's right. Well, apparently Counterspin have got information with former cops and former military that they think it was a false flag. That's why they think that. That's why they believe Counterspin people there, Calvin Alp and Hannah Spira, they believe that they were arrested back there for having that video, or just having a link to the video, linked to a video which showed a small portion of that shooter's video, and that's why they just used that to arrest them, so that they could take all their gear and look through all their stuff. We talked about that the other day, yesterday.
Did they get their stuff back?
No. I don't think so.
So the government took all their computer equipment and didn't return it?
Yep.
Really? Geez, that'd be... Yeah, I kind of wonder sometimes, I've got to tell you, why nobody's turned up at my door.
Why?
Why would they? Well, because, I'm fairly outspoken, but it would take them weeks to go through the stuff that I've written, weeks and weeks.
Well, since you've moved to Wellington, since you just moved to Wellington, you've probably got a good chance of being arrested down there. We won't tell them where you live. We'll send them off the trail. Say you're in Wellington.
Grant, seriously, mate, they would have my phone number, and my phone would tell them where I was.
How come they don't ring you up then? How come they don't come around and knock on your door? Like they did with John Ansell.
I'm very careful what I write. Oh, look, John's a lovely guy, and I love him.
Me too.
But at the same time, he is a bit of a loose cannon.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, you know that. I don't know. Sorry, John. I wouldn't call him a loose cannon. Emotional.
Well, he's look, the trouble is, Gordon McLaughlin wrote a book. It's called The Passionless People. He wrote it about New Zealand. We're all passionless, mate. We don't make a stand for anything. Ansell makes a stand. He made a big stand for all those kids that were maimed and young people that went and got the vaccine because they were forced out. They had a choice: take the vaccine or lose your job. And he made a stand. Him and Lana Ratner and others and people at the NZDSOS, not .co.nz, that's a fake site. I reckon that's fully funded by the government. At .com, NZDSOS.com. Over 5,000 health professionals, including doctors and nurses, said no to the government. This is wrong. You should not be doing this. You should not be jabbing people with this experimental blooming biological agent. And it's wrong. And what I like about Ansell, just to finish my point about Ansell, he went straight to the chief whip, and he let him have it. He said, "Well, what, you know?" Because he believes, and I think he's right. The people are dying, and they're covering it up. And what's his name? That chief whip? It's got an Irish sounding name. He went there and then he put his recording. John videoed the whole thing, and then made national news, and then he put his recording up on Facebook. And then these two tosser little cops came around. They were really bad. Most of my cop friends would be ashamed of them. They didn't want to tell John who they were, and they wouldn't say exactly what he'd done wrong. They were basically just intimidating him because he was over the target. That's why.
When you say over the target, look,
people are being killed and maimed by this vaccine.
Sorry?
People are being killed and maimed by this vaccine, and the numbers are huge, and the government are hushed up about it. Your cardiologist has admitted it to you, that he's inundated with young people.
He said he's very busy.
He said
we are dealing with a lot of the vaccine and how did he say it? He said, yes, we're dealing with a lot of vaccine and virus. He said both related heart issues.
Well, 14 kids don't.
And a lot of them are children.
Yeah, but they don't get heart disease.
Yeah, but he didn't say they were dying. He said they were dealing
with
issues related.
They are dying, and the government apparently.
But Grant, from the point of view of, I tend to sort of, I think I'm probably more in the mainstream belief system than what you are and what John is. Really.
You're my handbrake, aren't you?
Well, is that right? Yeah. I look at all this. I look at all this talk about the vaccine, people dying of the vaccine all the time, and I can't see any evidence of it. I have not lost a single friend or acquaintance. I have not lost a single one to the vaccine.
Well, with all due respect, you've had some pretty major health problems yourself. You haven't really been out and about, have you? John has been out and about. He's been travelling the country. He's been talking to doctors and victims of the vaccine. And he's been talking to people that have lost children and lost people. And there's many... Look, your own sister, she was vaccinated. How do you know that she didn't die as a result of that vaccine?
Well, I don't. And it's that interesting. So... but what she did do, look, what she did do is she had a fall the day before, and she died of a sub. She had a fall walking along because she was woozy, you know. And she had a fall. She fell into the sea, and some people picked her out of the sea and organised her back to her family.
Yeah.
And she died the next day, and she died in an ambulance on the way to hospital of a subdural hemorrhage. Because she'd hurt her head. She'd banged her head.
Well, what, did she have a stroke or something, do you think?
Well, no, she was having some sort of issue that was making her dizzy.
Mm.
I'd have to go, I should have listened more to the boys talking about that, but I didn't.
This is your your nephews? Now, they were talking about taking legal action, weren't they? Is that still happening, or has that gone off the board?
Oh, they were talking about taking legal action, about the way that the treatment process took place.
Yeah.
And these are people with a lot of money, and so they would have got they would have got somebody involved in that who had a proper look, and they would have backed off from it for some reason.
Mm.
But they were concerned that the doctor who made the original decisions about her made the wrong decision.
Well, I put it to
and
you.
So that's.
I put it to you that no lawyer would want to touch it because they know they'd probably lose their license, because they're probably the law society are in cahoots with the government.
Well, but you know the reality was that she felt, you know, they were concerned about the fact that she wasn't treated promptly for a subdural hemorrhage.
Right. Oh, it's very sad.
So, but she died a lovely lady, apparently. She died in an ambulance on the way to Whangarei Hospital. So she was also out in the wop-wops.
Oh boy, Whangarei Hospital's in dire straits. They were talking about the nurses and doctors there were wanting the government to bring in the army to help. That's how bad it is there. You talk about Wellington being like, you know, being in a hospital in Mogadishu.
Look. When you talk, look, I've been in hospital so much, it's ridiculous. I owe my life to the many times.
Yeah, but it's not
over.
The same now, is it?
It's not the same. And,
no.
But the other thing that's been going on in this country as a whole, in the whole country, every bloody part of the country has been involved in squandering billions, not millions, billions of dollars on Maori language for decades, and they have not been spending money on the hospitals. So we've got a few people who can speak a bit of Maori, but not much, and they're not very good at it, and that's all we've accomplished instead of having a proper health system.
Mm.
That's how stupid New Zealanders are. They've allowed
we can't do anything about
it. It's still happening.
Our government is riding roughshod over us.
Yeah, but the general population need to go, one of these days I'm going to need a hospital. And instead of having a proper hospital, we've got some people who think they can speak Maori.
Well,
it has cost billions. Look, the budget for Maori language a few years ago was $1 billion a year. And they were pushing it through the TV and all the rest of it. It is lunacy. You know, the idea that that hasn't cost billions of dollars is just silly. It's obviously cost an absolute fortune. It has achieved very, very little, and certainly nothing that's going to save the people of this country.
So what do you think?
What
do you think the people of this? What do you think the people of this country need to do?
Well, they need to listen to what I just said. But you see, most people are afraid to say that out loud.
That's why we need people.
I mean, it's absolutely true, but people are afraid to say it.
Well, then I put it to you that that is why we need people like John Ansell, who are not passionless, who is passionate about bringing to light what's been going on with our hospital system and what's been happening with this rollout of this experimental biological agent, which it definitely is.
I think John Ansell is one of the heroes.
He absolutely is. Yes, yes. He deserves many medals for what he's been doing.
Yep.
And so we need more
because
John Ansells.
Because he's not afraid to speak.
We need more of them. More people like him to speak up. And, you know, I like what he says. He says that what we have now is we have people that are sort of in the wobbly middle. Or is it the wobbly centre? They don't want to offend anybody. They're too scared to really speak the truth. So they just sort of, you know, wobbly middle, he calls it. And he says, but we've got these leftists, including the trans extremists, and they are the bully children of the left, he calls them. And we're the grown-ups, but we're allowing these bully children to run riot in our country, and they need to be brought to heel.
Yep.
And we need to, and he's right, we need to keep saying, reminding the public that the left are bullies. And they're baby bully children, and they can't tolerate us saying anything that's negative to their position. They won't let us have a voice. That's why they bashed up and tried to kill her, Posy Parker, when she came here just to have a woman's meeting in the park with no more than 200 women and people that supported her. She was not anti-trans. She was pro-woman, and she wanted to stop women, men dressed up as women, going into women's toilets, and to stop these transsexual, you know, lunatics going into public libraries, which we pay for, and talking to our children and grooming our children. That's what she was upset about, and that's what her meeting was all about. And the government and the media, they stirred up the public. people that that were ignorant of really what Posey Parker was all about, and that woman nearly got killed. And our police stood by and watched it happen.
Yeah, shameful. Absolute shameful. Yeah. No doubt about it. But you know, what needs to happen
mm-hmm.
what needs to happen here is Mr. and Mrs. Ordinary, who live in Pakuranga and Remuera and whatever, and I don't know, Kandala and Wellington and elsewhere, they need to wake up and realise that the hospital system's stuffed.
Yeah.
Because it's had no money spent on it, and if their kids end up with leukemia or I don't know, you know, seriously broken up or something like that, or they've got chicken pox or whatever they might get, it is their own fault because they have allowed the government to squander billions of dollars of the money that should have gone into health on Maori language. And they'll be learning a few kioras themselves, and they're blind and stupid,
and
their children will pay the price.
And Rob Muldoon, he warned us. He said they want to destroy our economy, they want to destroy our country, and they're doing it in a multi-pronged attack against right-thinking, conservative New Zealanders. They're trying to destroy it.
Yeah, but right-thinking, conservative New Zealanders are the most silent people in the country.
And they're passionless. They've got no balls, and they're not prepared to speak up. And the only people that are people like John Ansell and you and others. You know, Chantal Baker, she's one. She'll speak up.
Chantal Baker's amazing. I have a huge amount of time for John Ansell, and I have a huge amount of time for Chantal Baker. I mean, good on her.
Mm.
And she can spread the word. I think that she's also got a handle on how far she can go and still retain credibility.
Huge credibility. That's why, you know, did you know that was it the Herald took a photograph and they of her, and then they adjusted her nose and chin to make it look long and pointy, and then they changed it. They changed it back to demonize her. They tried it, you know, and they caught out, and they did it to try and demonize her. But of course, they don't print that in the newspaper. They put that online, so everybody looks at the news online and they see this big nose and call it that's Chantal. It's just that they're trying to get the public to dislike her, and they're using every trick in the book, every leftist bully child trick in the book.
Yeah, but everybody, it's a newspaper, mate. It's a newspaper, just like the Dominion, which just changed its name. I mean, because they didn't want to be called Dominion.
Well, what they did was they changed it back. Valueless. They changed it back, and so that they quickly changed it back when the uproar started, and then they tried to make out that we were just making up stories.
Yeah, you know, but stuff and newspapers in general.
Stuff is stuffed, isn't it?
They're dead. It's a dead. You know.
Yeah.
Stuff are desperately trying to be. Distribute so-called news online, but you know, the news comes from elsewhere now. We've got lots and lots of different places we can go and get a bit of news.
But I don't think Facebook is the answer. I'll tell you why. Because all we're doing is speaking to each other in Facebook. We're just talking. They've got the algorithm. Ardern knows this. She's behind it. The government have tools to go into Facebook and censor things. And so when we go and post stuff up on Facebook, it's a waste of jolly time because we're just speaking to the converted. So we're speaking in an echo chamber.
What we do, Grant, is we do inform each other.
We do. So what we've got to do now is we've got to have our next conversation, if that's okay with you, tomorrow, hopefully. Lord willing, I'd like to be able to talk to you about how we can get our message. How do we get our message to the general public? How do we break through the censorship which we're living under?
Let's do that. I'll have a think about that overnight.
All right. We're speaking with John Ansell. No, we're not. No. Imagine if John was speaking, we'd just have to sit and listen. He's so good, isn't he? We're speaking with Dennis Hall, and Dennis Hall is a contributor to the New Zealand Centre for Political Research. That's Muriel Newman. And Muriel Newman was she an ACT Party politician, a member of Parliament?
She was an ACT Party politician.
That's right.
Mind you, they haven't picked up very much of what I've done lately, and that's because I haven't been I haven't been very busy lately.
Let's just give them all a plug. Counterspin Media, if you want to see the real hard, cold, hard truth. There's Damien Dement. You can go and find him. I don't know about Facebook, but you could search for him. He's probably on Rumble. Have a look and see what he has to say. He's a New Zealander with an American accent. He came to New Zealand at a very young age. I think he might have been born here. Then spent a lot of time at home. That's why he's got the American accent. Who else is there? We've got Chantel Baker. Leighton Smith is doing a great job with his podcast, and it was very sad to hear that he had a heart attack. So let's hope that he continues to interview some people on his podcast. You can find that. Just look up the Leighton Smith podcast, and he is actually on the list of people that Counterspin Media believe that we should be listening to. He's on that list, so that's pretty good.
Leighton Smith. He was always very good.
Yep. And let's give lots of support to Mike Hosking and what's her name, Heather Duplessis-Allen, the beautiful Heather Duplessis-Allen.
Yep.
She's lovely, isn't she? Lovely name too, isn't it? Don't you think, Duplessis-Allen? I like that. All right.
Yep, she's lovely.
We'll leave it at that.
And she's very good.
Thank you very much, Dennis Hall. We'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Okay, mate.